right, everybody. Welcome back to the Drive Time Show. It's time for our final half hour. It's 7 o'clock. Really? Yeah, it's 7 o'clock already, everybody, which means the third and final half hour. Of course, you're listening to Vaughn Radio. My name is Kyle Miller, and it's time to begin this half hour with another challenge. That's right, it's time for... What's that sound? Yep. What's that sound, right? This is the part where Tino's going to play a sound, and we're going to try to figure it out. Adivinarlo. We're going to try to figure out the sound. Now, first of all, if people want to participate, you're at home and you're saying, quiero participar, pero no sé cómo hacerlo. Right? So what you can do is write in on Twitter. Tino, how can they find me on Twitter?
Tweet Kyle at I'm Kyle Miller. O lo que viene siendo IM Kyle Miller.
All right, everybody. That's right. It is that time. It's time for... What's that sound? All right, let's hear the sound. Okay. All right, so tell me what this is. Describe it. Describe the sound. All right, tell me what this is, and I'll read your responses at the end of the show. In 22 minutes, everybody, 22 minutes from now, I will read your responses. We have Mary writing in. She said, yeah, I am in Seville. She says, too bad there's no radio in Seville. We're working on it. And here's one thing. People often say, why aren't you in Granada or Seville? Or why aren't you? And we would love to be everywhere. Trust me. If we could be everywhere, we would be. But frequencies are not free, unfortunately. Licenses and frequencies are expensive. So we do our best to find affordable ways to reach you, to find affordable ways to be on the dial in major centers. So we're working on it. But it's often a question of a frequency becoming available, a license becoming available, and it's expensive, it's time-consuming, it's challenging, it involves financial and human resources to get on new frequencies. So, So if you wonder why we aren't in your city, it's not that we don't care about you. We would love to be on the dial in Seville. Trust me, we would love it. And Granada. And, all these other, so many other places, San Sebastian, and I don't know, all these places. We'd love to be everywhere, but we just can't. We can't be everywhere. But we're trying our best, right? Little by little, poco a poco. All right, folks, we're going to move on. And some strange stuff happens around the world, right? Some weird stuff. Let's take a look at today's weird news. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for today's weird news. Yeah, that's right. Weird news, everybody. Weird news from Costco. Costco. I love this place. There's one in Getafe. Right? I'm not saying I love. Well, I don't have strong feelings for Getafe. I'm not saying I me encanta Getafe. Oh, no me gusta. No, I'm not saying anything about that. All I'm saying is that there's Costco out there. It's a wholesale store, folks. It's bent up. It's not like bulk. It is. It is bulk. What am I saying? It is bulk, but it's for domestic products, right? Things for your house. So you want to buy some, frozen chicken breasts. Right? You want some chicken meat. Well, you can get a big box of, maybe 6 kilograms, 6 kilos de pollo a la vez. Muy bien, adelante. Go ahead, Costco. You want to buy a big box of cookies. You want to buy blue jeans, very cheap. Anyway, they're not paying me for an advertisement, so I'll stop there. But it's in Getafe. It's a nice place. But Costco is now, the weird news is that Costco is now selling a 27-pound tub of macaroni and cheese. There's macaronis con queso. We don't say macaronis and cheese. We say macaroni. Macaroni and cheese. Mac and cheese. 27 pounds, everybody. That's about 12 kilos. 2 kilos de macaronis a la vez. Pues dame 12 kilos. Es que tengo hambre. Right? In a 6-gallon bucket. This is like a bucket como un cubo como tienes en casa para la fregona. ¿Eh? 23 liters. 23 litros. It costs $90, everybody. $90. $90. So that's about what? 70 euros, maybe? You get 180 servings of Chef's Banquet macaroni and cheese, which the company says will remain edible for up to 20 years. So if you don't eat it today, don't worry. No te preocupes. Dura 20 años. Right? I can't eat it all. That's all right. I got 20 years to eat it. So, you know, I found this funny. To me, it's strange. Very so American, right? I want macaroni and cheese, but I want 23 liters of it. No, I mean, if you're having a big family, right? You're having a big party, wedding. Well, I don't know. I don't know if you'd want macaroni and cheese at your wedding, but you know, you're having a big event and you have a lot of people around. Well, why not? Why not? Weird stuff, everybody. But Costco's a wonderful place. You can find all kinds of great stuff there. You know, I recommend you check it out. I really do. Okay. Let's move on, everybody. How about, where are we going to go, Tino? Take us away.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, ignition.
Drive time. Top 5. All right, everybody, it's that time again. It's that time. It's the Drive Time Top 5, everybody. And today is the Top 5 Ancient Forms of Communication. Yeah. See, nowadays, hoy en día, nowadays, it's all about the telecom industry. And, you know, new mobile phones and all this texting and all of this stuff. But there are so many ways to communicate. And it makes me think of some of the great ways that we communicated in the past. And I don't mean when I was young. I'm talking about hundreds of years ago. And here's a good one. We're going way back. The water clock. So this was an ancient way of telling time called the water clock. And it could be used to send messages. So a number of messages were placed vertically into the water so they wouldn't get wet. And when one party wanted to send a message, they would set a fire. They'd reply, and there would be, the water clocks clearly had to be set up in the same system so that it would work. But the time would pass with the water level changing, and when the water level reached the point for the correct message, another smoke signal would be sent by a party to stop the timer. This is strange. I don't even think I really understand this. This is weird. Okay, another one. Runners. Yeah, that was weird. That first one, water clocks. Very strange. Runners, everybody. So people would do that. This is going back to before the times of Jesus Christ, right? They would have a runner who would go from one town to another with a message. So I'd handwrite a note, give it to the guy, and he would run over to the town, right? Like the story of the guy who ran the origin of the marathon in 490 BC, when he ran all the way to Athens to tell everyone of the victory over the Persians. And it resulted in his death. So we don't recommend this as a way to, you know, we have more modern ways to handle communication now rather than running, but hey, at the time, it was necessary. Another one, bonfires. Kind of like something you'd see in Lord of the Rings. This idea of having a fire burning at the top of a hill to send a message. So, okay, if everything is good, light a fire and we'll see it on the top of a hill. To send a message, especially for attacks, right? If we're, you know, you'd have someone on a hill watching for soldiers coming, approaching a city or approaching a town. And if they saw someone coming, they would light a giant fire. So the fire could be seen by someone in the town checking the hilltop, and it would send a message. And then you'd know that action was needed. Okay. Another one were pigeons, right? You've heard of these messenger pigeons, palomas. And other animals as well were often used to carry messages for people. Even in World War I and II. Even in the Second World War, pigeons were still being used to send some message. A message would be placed in a ring around the pigeon's ankle, el tobillo. And the bird would have been trained to return to a certain location and therefore would accurately deliver the note. So these are called homing pigeons because they go home, right? They go back to, they go back home. They go back, they return to their origin. They've been also used as postal carriers. Right? So amazing creatures, pigeons. And of course, writing. Well, standard writing, of course, became essential. The invention of the first writing systems apparently began with the Bronze Age in the late 4th millennium BC. Every culture on earth has some form of written language. And the power of writing means that we're able to pass down more knowledge to the next generation without things becoming without things becoming so distorted, right? So maybe the most important invention ever, really, the idea of writing. Being able to just having a way to document things, so key. So there you go. We're calling that our top five ancient forms of communication. That water clock, that was weird. To be honest, I don't understand how that works. But the water clock, the use of runners, the use of bonfires, the use of pigeons, and, you know, basic writing and the idea of having, which all the other, well, several of the others, like the pigeons or the runners, they would rely on the written word, of course, as well. Anyway, a lot of people writing in. A lot of life here. Fran says, that mac and cheese story is crazy. We're going nuts. And it can last for 20 years. So if I buy it today, I can leave it for my grandson. Come on. Yeah, that's true. Nuts. Maria Luisa says, hi, Kyle. I'm listening to you in Madrid through the app. Okay. Now, we had our our Twitter translation at the start of the show. I've not given you the answer yet. Ojalá tuviéramos más información. Ojalá tuviéramos. So let's see what people are saying because we have a lot of people writing in. We have Paul Voisin. He says, if only we had more information / I wish we had more information. And you know what? That's a perfect answer. I wish is much more common. I wish we had more information. Adalmadi says that too. He says, happy radio day. Boro, our buddy Boro, if only we had more information. Okay. I wish we have, says Julian from Bogota. Be careful. I wish we had, not have, but I wish we had more information. So we're using the subjunctive form here. I wish we had more information. We go back one step in tense. Daniel says, I wish we had more info. I wish we had more information, says Maria Angeles. Paulo, I wish we had more information. Very good. Catalina as well. Miguel has the right answer. And so does Francisco. And so does Belen and Virginia and Geraldo. Geraldo said, I wish we'd have. I wish we had more information. So when we use this structure, ojalá, we say, I wish. And we go back one step in tense. So if I say, I'm not rich, but I wish I were rich. I'm hungry. I wish I weren't so hungry. So when we're in the past, when we're already in the past, like last year, I didn't win the lottery. I wish I had won the lottery. That's where we need the past perfect tense, because we're already talking about the past, and we have to, our rule says that whenever we use ojalá, wish, we go back an extra tense. So if we're in the past, we go back to past perfect. I wish I had won the lottery last year, for example. Okay. So there you go. That was our Drive Time Top 5. Now, you know I like challenges. And this is a section that listeners always say, Kyle, I love the challenges. I want to do that every day. Okay. All right. So let's do it. This one is for you, you challenge lovers out there. It's time for the interrogative challenge.
Interrogative challenge.
Interrogative challenge. Yes, it is time for the interrogative challenge. I give you the answer and you ask me the question. Okay? You remember this one? Yeah, I give you the answer. You ask me the question. Okay. Here we go. Number one. We had to wait 30 minutes. How long did you have to wait? How long did you have to wait? Number two. The monastery was built in the 14th century. When was the monastery built? Hey, when was the monastery built? Oh, the 14th century. Number three. It costs $5 to get a manicure. How much does it cost to get a manicure? I don't know. $5, apparently. Number four. I can be there around 2 o'clock. What time can you be there? Or here. What time? Around 2 o'clock. Number five. There should have been 8 people in the meeting. How many people should there have been in the meeting? There should have been 8 people in the meeting. Number six. She quit smoking 2 months ago. When did she quit smoking? When did she quit smoking? Number seven. I refused to do it because it meant leaving my job. Why did you refuse to do it? Hey, why did you refuse to do it? Because it meant leaving my job. Number nine. I've had this tie for 3 years. How long have you had that tie? How long have you had that tie? Okay, finally, number 10. The most popular dance in the 60s was the twist. What was the most popular dance in the 60s? En los años 60. Tino, what was the most popular dance in the 60s? Oh, the twist. The twist, yeah. Exactly. There you go, everybody. That's our challenge. Interrogative challenge. Yes, that's right. We do it every day. And I know it's not easy. People at home are saying, es que me cuesta mucho eso. I know. So, if you want to listen to that again or practice that again, you can, of course, get our show at evox.com, ivoox.com. You can download it, you can stream it, and you can work with those challenges again and again until you get them right. Okay. Let's see. We have Maria Luisa, who's trying to connect with the app, the Vaughn Radio app. Hopefully she's having, she says, I'm trying to. Hopefully she's having success and listening. All right. But there you have it, folks. One other thing we do every day, and we only have 5 minutes left in the show, we better be fast, is have a look at something that happened on this day in history. That's right. It's time for Today in History. Today in History. In guess, back in time. Let's go back to 1998 and the Winter Olympics were in full swing. And downhill skier Hermann Maier crashed. A horrible accident skiing, everybody. Austrian ski racer Hermann Maier makes one of the most dramatic crashes in skiing history. He flew 30 feet, like about 10 meters in the air, landing on his helmet and ramming his head, ramming through two safety fences at an estimated 80 miles per hour. Amazingly, he suffered just minor injuries and walked away from the crash. And just a couple days later, he won gold medals in the giant slalom and the Super G event. Yeah, Hermann Maier. He was born in 1972 in Austria. And as a boy, he was trained by his father, who was a ski racer and a ski school owner. As a teenager, he was recruited and joined the Austrian National Ski Academy. But he was sent home after a year, as he was told he had no future as a professional skier because he was too small. So he became a bricklayer and started skiing at his father's, skiing at his father's school in Austria. And he competed in regional competitions before eventually earning a spot on Austria's elite national team. In February of 1997, he won his first Super G race. So they have the slalom, the giant slalom, which is longer, and the Super G, which is super giant. I don't know if that means it's more like a longer race or steeper angle. I'm not sure. But it was this day in 1998. It was the Winter Olympics in Nagano, Japan, when he was competing in the men's downhill, an event that he was expected to win. And he lost control on the seventh and eighth turns, and he went flying into the air, made this horrible crash landing. But to the amazement, like I said, to the amazement of everyone watching, he managed to get up and walk away with only minor injuries. And several days later, he took home gold medals, like I said, in the Super G and giant slalom events. You know, he had a very aggressive skiing style, and his ability to survive this almost, it seemed like it should have been a fatal crash, earned him the nickname The Herminator. After, of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger's character, The Terminator. But there you go. All right, so Hermann Maier, that terrible accident on this day, you can find it on YouTube. But good to know that he walked away all right after, went on to win a couple medals as well. All right, so lots of people participating and lots of people writing in. We have our sound, everybody. And we have, let's see, people writing in. Oh, Maria Luisa says the sound is someone trying to connect by the app. Okay. Well, tuning in. Catalina, someone is trying to tune in an amazing radio show using one of the old transistors full of noise. But yeah, the old sound of tuning in a radio. Sintonizando, tuning in. And David says, "It's Kyle. Don't touch that dial, Kyle. It's the sound of tuning in to Kyle's show." Well, thank you, David. Yes. So it was someone indeed tuning in, sintonizando, tuning in a radio. Yeah. As we enjoy World Radio Day. All right. I am just about out of time, but I want to say thanks for listening. And tomorrow is our Valentine's Day special. Yes, I will have a special date on the radio. Ooh, and you can tune in tomorrow on Facebook as well. And we'll do a Facebook live stream of the show. That'll be a lot of fun tomorrow.
Ooh, sugar, that tastes good.
And it's going to be a special show. Special show. You won't want to miss it. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. I know you have lots of choices, lots of things you can do with your time, lots of things to do with your day. And I thank you for deciding to invest it a little bit, to invest your time with us, with your English, and with me and Tino this afternoon in the Drive Time Show. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition. Same time, same place. We'll see you there. Bye-bye.
Estás escuchando
Bon Radio. Bon Radio.
Este 13 de febrero es el Día Mundial de la Radio.
En FM, en ondas largas, en digital o a través de Internet.
La radio te tiende el micrófono, te da la palabra, te escucha.
La radio, tu acceso anónimo a la información verificada.
Este 13 de febrero celebremos juntos la radio con UNESCO.
Hay tan poca gente en España con un alto nivel de inglés, tan poca, que las empresas las rifan. El sistema educativo no ayuda a solucionar esto, y en las universidades el inglés sigue siendo una María. Entonces, ¿qué hacen los chavales cuando terminan la carrera? Pues buscan trabajo o bien prolongan su educación con un máster. Los que buscan empleo aspiran, claro, a buenos puestos o a las buenas empresas, pero se colocan mal. Sí, se colocan mal por la falta de un buen nivel de inglés. ¿Y qué hacen ante esto? Pues muchos hacen un máster en recursos humanos o en derecho comunitario o algo por el estilo para mejorar su currículum. La verdad es que seguimos sin entenderlo. ¿Por qué dedicáis 1 a 2 años a un máster sabiendo que vuestra carencia es el inglés? ¿Por qué? Si dedicarais ese año exclusivamente al inglés, con el mismo empeño que en ese máster que teníais pensado o que habéis hecho, ¿saldríais hablando el idioma? ¿Has escuchado alguna vez a Richard? Pues eso. Y esto no es vender humo. Esto no es una broma. Las empresas os cogerían sin pestañear.